This all stems from 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7, looking at a growing faith. It says in 2 Peter 1, 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And now we're looking at charity, and really the declarative chapter on it, the defining chapter on biblical charity, is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That's the theme of the whole chapter. In verses 1 through 3 we looked at last time, and they tell us basically how meaningless things are if we don't have charity. Verse 3 says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So it's verse 2 says, I'm nothing without charity. If I don't have charity, I'm nothing. So really everything that we do, if it's not built on charity, on love for others, a self-sacrificing love for others, then it's for nothing. This is what God says. This is how important it is. That's why he says to speak the truth in love. So we want to stand for the truth, but we need to make sure we're doing it in love. When we tell someone the truth, and it's sometimes a hard truth that they don't want to accept, we need to make sure our motives, the motives within our heart, are through love. That's why we're doing it. Not to win an argument, to prove that we're right, nothing like that. But because we love them, and we want them to know the truth. That needs to be the motives behind it. And then from verses 4 down to verse 8, God describes for us here what love looks like, what charity looks like. Here's a true description of it. This could be, we could say, this is a description of the Lord Jesus Christ right here. This is describing Jesus Christ, our Savior. And he's obviously the model we want to attain to. He's what we want to look at. He's what we want to build our life to be like. He's the type of thinking that we want to have. And here it is right here. Verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. We'll stop right there. Charity never faileth. Now we're going to look at these characteristics of what love should be. And hopefully, through this, the Lord will convict us of some things, encourage us in some other things. Well, I've got that. At least I'm working good on that one. But it'll challenge us to love like Christ loves, to love like God loves. The John 3:16 type of loves. For God so loved the world. And one of the biggest ones, it's not about me. And we are in a selfish society where it's always about us. Always. How can this help me? I'm coming to church to get something for me. I'm here for me. What do you have for me? I'm going to work for me. Yeah, we get that. You got to go to work to feed your family and stuff. But why don't you look at it like a mission field? Who are you witnessing to at your work? Who are you trying to win to the Lord at school? Who are you trying to influence? See, is it always about you? Oh, I couldn't tell someone about the Lord. I'm too embarrassed. Oh, it's about you. Not about him. Okay? That's not biblical love. We have to ask ourselves, where are we at? Do I truly love? Do I truly love? Let's pray. Father, we need you. We ask for your help. Lord, teach us. We need to hear from you and from your word. I pray you speak through me, you'd use me. God, use this to help us renew our minds and think like you. Change us, Lord, if we need it. Please, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Charity is an action that will manifest itself in real, tangible ways. But we use the word love all the time. You know, oh, I love this food. I love tamales. I love steak. But we don't mean it like it's talking about right here. That's why God uses the word charity. Because it's an action word. It's more descriptive. It's better. Charity. We think of charity. If someone's charitable, what does it mean? It means they're giving, right? Well, I gave to a charity. I mean, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He, help me out. He gave, amen, He gave His only begotten Son. So God showed His love by doing what? By giving, by sacrificing, by really giving Himself. So we want to get down to the nuts and bolts of what charity is. It's giving yourself to others. Charity is giving yourself to others. And most of us are more focused on taking care of ourselves than helping others. It's about us. It's about me. What do I get? It's not about others. We have to change that type of thinking. We have to turn from that frame of mind. Ladies, cold in here? No, we're all right. Yes, no. All right, we'll give us a little heat. If it looks like you're falling asleep, I'm going to turn the air on, though. I'm just kidding. I won't do that. I will turn the heat off, though. So charity's an action that's going to manifest itself in real tangible ways. That means you can see it. Let me just stop here. If somebody says they love you and they don't show it to you in some way, they're lying to you. And, okay, let me back up on that too. And they don't show you in one of these ways we're going to look at. They're lying to you. Especially you young girls. I'm telling you, please listen to this. They're lying to you. It's a lie. It's not real. But charity is an action that will manifest itself in real tangible ways. And we're going to look at 15 characteristics of love in action. It says first in verse 4, charity suffereth long. It suffers long. It endures. It'll put up with for a long time. Not for a short amount of time, for a long time. Charity suffereth long. How long has God put up with mankind? I mean, as dumb as we are, as foolish as we are, all the nonsense we do, and nothing's changed. I mean, you go back to the very beginning, and we're still the same as we've always been. Wicked, we leave Him, we turn to idolatry, we look at everything but Him, in every way we can imagine. And God still suffers long with us. He still puts up with us. Charity suffereth long. I mean, how many family members, how many of us in here have family members we're praying for to get saved? Everyone in here. Everybody in here. How many of those people we're praying for are adults? Almost all of them, right? Right? Yeah. And look at all the nonsense they've done in their life. And we could pick on ourselves too, but we're not going to do that right now. Most of the sermon will be about us. Okay, but I'm just pointing out the fact that look at all the nonsense that they do, the sin that they commit, the hateful things, the blasphemous things they do against God, and God still hasn't killed them. When if it was us, we'd have been like lightning bolts coming at you, buddy. Boom, bam, got him. Sick of that. We're not as merciful as God is. But if they're still alive, God's saying, come on, come here. He's still giving them a chance. God is long-suffering. He is. He puts up with a lot from us. We could learn from that, all of us. Now look, this doesn't mean we tolerate sin, that we are okay with sin either, because God's not. God's not. He's going to judge it all. Right? So it doesn't mean it's an excuse to let somebody sin, to leave them in sin. That's not charity. Remember, we read it. We'll get to it here, but I just want us to see it. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. No, it's not okay with that. True love is not okay with that. It doesn't mean we're okay with it. But it does mean, man, they messed up. Let's help them. Let's help them. And sometimes, let me say, that help isn't what we think it should be or what modern Christianity says it should be. Tolerate it and allow it and even bring it into churches. It doesn't mean it's that. Sometimes it means it's like, there's the door. You need to leave. Yes. Yeah. Go from here, John chapter 6. Save your spot, 1 Corinthians 13. John 6:60. John 6:60. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" So he's preaching some hard stuff. Who can hear this? Who can bear this? Man, this is hard to hear. Verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, they were complaining. They're like, "Did you hear what he said? I can't believe he just said that. Really? You think that's right?" I mean, they're murmuring. They're complaining. They're talking amongst themselves. He said unto them, "Doth this offend you? Are you offended at what I said? What's the problem over here, guys? What if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." Now get this, John 6:66, and I'm sure that's an accident. John 6:66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Now look at something right there. He didn't go after them. He let them go. Let them go. I thought he was supposed to chase them down, force them back, beat them over the head with it. Nope, he let them go. Well, what about the lost sheep? Yeah, he goes after the lost sheep. But look, if someone doesn't want to be here, what about the prodigal son? He let him go. Go. You're waiting there for him. He let him go. You can't force someone to be somewhere they don't want to be. That's what Islam tries to do. That's what the Dark Ages were about. And, you know, the Crusades were trying to, it was the Catholic Church trying to force people to believe like them. What the Muslims are doing, you convert to Islam or we're going to cut your head off. It doesn't work. People still don't believe it. You can't force someone to be somewhere they don't want to be, to believe something they don't want to believe. You can't. They might say it, but they don't really believe it. If it's under threat of violence or something, they'll say, "Oh yeah, I'm a Muslim. I'm a Catholic." But they don't really, they haven't bought into it. Jesus let them go. And sometimes that's what love is. Okay. Go ahead. Have your own way. Now, from that spot, go to Romans 2. See, how dare we let somebody go? How could we let them go? Preacher, you're supposed to go after everybody that ever leaves this church. You're supposed to chase them down, hound them. Some people say, you got to do it. You got to go after them. Got to go after them. Got to go after them. I'm telling you, I could tell you right now, I've tried that. And I've gone after some people, and the people I invested the absolute most time in. Families I've visited more than any other families in this building right now are not here. Why? Because they don't want to be here. You can give them all you got. Burn your family out on it. And if they don't want to be here, they won't be here. That's plain and simple. You can't make someone be here. Now, I'll encourage you. If I notice you're missing, I'll go after you. I'll go talk to you. But if, after a while, if you don't want to be here, I cannot make you be here. Look, the sheep follow the shepherd. And I'm not talking about me as the shepherd. I'm talking about him. I'm like the sheepdog, okay? That's right. Remember, Brother Murdoch said that. The sheepdog, right? I just run off the wolves and stuff, okay? I'm an under-shepherd. I am. That's part of it. But he's the chief shepherd. So I'll go after you, but the sheep follow the shepherd. We can look at John 10 if you want. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's what sheep want to do. Goats don't want to do that. A goat doesn't want to do that. Goats go off on their own. I shared a video on Facebook. I need to download it and show it to us in church one time. But it was a shepherd with his sheep. They're out there in the sheepfold, and they have these different people go up, and he tells them, he's like, here, call the sheep like this. And he tells them, you call the sheep. And they all try it same way he does it. And the sheep are just there munching away, you know. Shepherd gets up and I'm talking like 3-4 people try it. Nothing happens. The shepherd gets up and he starts doing that same call. I forget how it was. It sounded kind of funny. But he starts doing that call to them. And boom, you see this thing all of a sudden just poof, and they look. And then they slowly, just one after another, they just start coming to him. And then it's like a frenzy takes place and they're just running to him all excited to be by the shepherd. Why? Because my sheep know my voice and they follow me. Man, what was Jesus talking about? It's almost like he knew what he was talking about. Amen? We suffer long. God suffers long with people. So the sheep, they're going to follow. But sometimes he says, just let them go. Let them go. Don't chase them down. You don't have to. You've tried. They don't want to be here. Don't let them be here. It says at that point, they walked no more with him. And he just said, bye. And looked at the apostles. He said, will ye also go away now? You going to leave too like them? That's what I say to some of you right here today. Will ye also go away? Are you going to go away too? Because it's not working how you want? Because it's not what you thought? Is that a hard saying? It's up to you. It's up to you. I'm telling you, I will love you. My family will love you. We love your family. We're going to help you. But we can't make you be here. People in this church will love you, will help your family, but they can't make you be here either. You got to be here because you love the Lord. That's what it has to be. Because I'm going to get you mad sometime. I'm going to do something wrong, something that offends you. Someone in church is going to do something wrong, something that offends you. And you're going to say, I'm out of here. Or you're going to say, you know what, Lord, I love you. Maybe I'm going to try and forgive like you forgive. That'll help us. That'll help all of us. We're in Romans 2, verse 4. Look at what this says right here. Remember now, in John 6, Jesus said, just let them go. He just let them go. He didn't chase them down. He said, where are you guys going? Please stay, stay, stay. Don't go. Don't leave. Don't leave. He let them go. Romans 2, 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness, okay, in forbearance and longsuffering? Get this, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. His long suffering. He just keeps putting up with them. Keeps putting up with them. Keeps putting up with them. And his goodness, it says, that God doesn't just kill them or even kill us when we sin against him. His goodness, and this specifically in this context, speaking about salvation, but we could even say as a Christian, that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. What's God waiting for? Get right with me. You could say for the lost or the saved, get right with me. Get right with God. That's what his long suffering's for. Not so you can continue in your sin, but so you can get right with him. That's charity. Charity suffereth long. But I'm going to put up with you. Praise God for that. Amen to that. I'll amen that one. It's 2 Peter 3:9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, what? But that all should come to repentance. He suffers long, so people will get saved. That's why he suffers long. Charity suffereth long and is kind, the Bible says. It's kind. To be kind means to show oneself mild or pleasant. It's the opposite of bitter, sharp, sarcastic, or rude. We're kind. Love is beneficial and useful. It's never hurtful, never destructive. The reason why we're not kind is because we're selfish. That's why we're not kind. Because we're selfish. It's about us. Right here, as I even read this, to me, I'm a sarcastic person. I don't know why I am. Well, you guys are like, Pastor, you? Look, I'm even trying not to use sarcasm even in that, right? I mean, it's all over me, right? But I have to work and fight at not being sarcastic sometimes. Because it just, man, I'm quick with it. I can just come out with it, but it doesn't come off good. It comes off rude. We have to watch that, because charity is kind. So sometimes, you know, we may say something and we think nothing of it, but it hurts someone's feelings. Well, maybe they're a little sensitive, maybe, but you still hurt their feelings, and that's not charity. Did you say the truth in love for their benefit? Or was it for your benefit so people would laugh or something at what you had to say? See, we gotta make sure we're falling in line with what biblical love is, because the Bible says charity is kind. Go to Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17, if you would, please. We're going to be all over the place with this here. So just be ready to flip. Nehemiah 9 and verse 17. This is what it says of those that Moses brought out of Egypt. Verse 16, really, but they and our fathers dealt proudly and hardened their necks and hearkened not to thy commandments. And what'd they do? And they refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. They wanted to go back into bondage. Man, I'm telling you, this is what it's like when we want to go back into our sin. That's it. Because we can look at this and think, how stupid of the Israelites coming out of Egypt to want to go back into slavery. What is wrong with them? I mean, right, who would want to go back into slavery, right? Anybody want to say that? I'll go back into slavery, hard bondage where they whip me and beat me. You know, and I work just for somebody else. And I'm abused and taken advantage of. Anybody want to go back into that after you've come out of it? Okay, how about us today? Any of us want to go into that? Well, yeah, let's go into bondage. Let's go into slavery. You think that's ridiculous? Who in their right mind would do that? And we look at them like, these guys are idiots. Why would they want to go back into bondage? But every time we want to go back to our sin, that's exactly what we're doing. We're going back into bondage. We're saying, hey, let's go back into Egypt. I'm going to go back under Pharaoh, back into slavery. Follow the world. That's what our sin is. So you could see it as ridiculous and foolish for the Israelites. But we don't see it like that for us. We think, I'm just having a good time. It's just one drink. Come on, it's New Year's. Right, if somebody's got a hangover today, good for you. I'm glad you got a hangover. You deserve it. You deserve it! This one's not on. Let me turn this on real quick. You got a headache. You deserve it! You can turn it off now. I don't think anyone in here has a hangover. I'm just messing with y'all. But that's God's still merciful to you if that's all you got. If that's all you got, God's still merciful to you. We want our bondage. We want our slavery. But here's what it says. Verse 17, second half. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. Man, what a God. That's how He is with us. That's how He is with us. We're wicked and rebellious, but thank God for those buts in the Bible. Amen right there. But, we're all these things, but Thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness. Thank God He's of great kindness. Thank God that He's a God of love. God is love, and charity is kind. It's kind. Back to 1 Corinthians. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity doesn't lust after what others have. It's not grieved when another's blessed. Look, someone, a coworker or something, maybe gets the promotion you wanted. You know, I deserve that. I should have gotten that. No. That's not love. I'm right. If that's how you feel, that's not love. Like, well, I should have gotten that on the team. That should be me. I should have gotten that award. How come they got it? How come the teacher recognized them and not me? I work harder than them. They're just a kiss-up and all this stuff. And you want to say all those types of things about them. Just could say the same thing about people you work with. They just kiss up all the time. Well, that's not love, because charity envieth not. It doesn't lust after what others have. It's not grieved when they're blessed. It doesn't experience discontent and ill will over the advantages, possessions, or opportunities of others. It's not mad because they have something you don't. But the way we live today, we got to always outdo somebody. We got to have the next better thing. It's competition in our societies all over the place, in everything. Got to be better than them. I mean, we go into the Olympics, right? Who wants America to get the most gold medals? Anybody else? Right here, I do. Amen. I'm going to say it. I want us to win everything. You're like, what? Yeah, I do. Don't you? But are we hateful or mad if somebody else does? Do we look down on them? If somebody gets a promotion that we thought we deserved, or a pay raise that we thought we deserved, are we mad? Or can we just rejoice and say, thank God I have a job. Thank God You're taking care of me. Thank God my family has everything we need. Can we just, you know, be content with what the Bible says? I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Contentment can be having what you want or wanting what you have. I have everything I want, and I want everything that I have. So I'm good right here. I'm not in slavery. I'm not suffering. I'm not starving. Praise God, I'm content. But if I am starving, suffering, would I still be content? Would I be mad because somebody else isn't? Now, that's why, look, you know, the time we have, it's a gift. So the time you have with your family, it's a gift. Cherish it. Cherish those moments with your family. Because look, I promise you, the Garcia family, I know I'm friends with them on Facebook, they're wishing they had those moments back with their daughter. And they don't. We have to ask ourselves, where would we be in a situation like that if we lost a parent, a child, a friend, a brother, a sister? Where would we be? Could we still be content? Or would we be envious? How come? I remember when my dad died when I was 5. It was 30 years ago, December 5th. My dad died. And I don't remember crying about him being dead till I was like 8 years old. I could have before, I don't remember though. But I remember at that point then getting mad. And I was mad at God, and I remember crying to God just with anger and tears. Why'd you take my dad? Why didn't you take somebody else's? I remember feeling that. So how would we handle something like that? Would we be mad that someone else still has their dad or their child or their brother or their sister or their friend or whatever it may be? Would we be mad at them? Or would we be able to still praise God? I'm not saying you're not going to be sad and heartbroken. Of course you are. But would you still be able to praise the Lord and say, God, thank you for the time I had with him? Cherish those moments. Hold on to them. Love them. Enjoy it. Enjoy the moment. Charity envieth not. It doesn't get mad at what others have. Envy is a description of those with a reprobate mind. Go to Romans chapter 1, please, if you would. Romans chapter number 1. Now, if you're familiar with the Bible, most of us know that Romans 1 is dealing with some wicked things right here. Most people come to this because it's going to deal with just the sodomite lifestyle and how wicked that is. And it does, but it doesn't just deal with that. It talks about it, you know, at extent here, but it's not just that. So we'll pick up in Romans 1:24. It says, wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. Get this. Full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. But notice that being full of envy is a sign of having a reprobate mind. Charity envieth not. And that's some wickedness right there we just read about in Romans chapter 1. And it says if we have envy, we're mad at somebody else, we're green with envy, we're jealous because of what they have something we want, something we don't have, we're in a reprobate mind. We're at least linked with it. Verse 29 says, being filled with all unrighteousness. Charity envieth not. It doesn't lust after what others have. Does that describe you angry at what somebody else has that you don't? Then you're not following biblical love. You're not loving like Jesus loved. You know the slogan of a decade ago, WWJD, what would Jesus do? We wouldn't be envious. He'd be kind. He'd be long-suffering. Is that describing you? Or are you on the other end of that? And it's something you need to fix. Something you need to work on. Being long-suffering. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. His long-suffering. He lets people leave. Sometimes the most loving thing we can do is just let them go. How do you know when to do that? I don't know. You walk with God and stay close to Him so you know. That's the only answer I've got for you, because I don't know when. Because he went after other people. I mean, he said, Zacchaeus, you know, come down. Today I must needs eat at your house. Got to do it today. Another time he went through Samaria. Why? He says, I must needs meet this woman of Samaria. I got somebody I got to see there. Went after him. But those that were following him, and then heard something hard, didn't want it, okay, go ahead. They were already following him. They just leave. Sometimes the most loving thing we can do is let somebody go that we're just holding on to. Are we being kind? Being kind to others, kind to your family. That's the easiest place it is to be mean to people. Within our own home. We know them. We know what gets to them. We know how to bother them. We know how to say mean, hurtful things to them. And be like, hey, just kidding. Not. Right? I mean, we can all be like that. Kindness. See, we need to be like Christ. Kind. And then are we jealous? Envy. A sign of a reprobate mind. Back up from that. Ask God to give you contentment if you're envious. God, I don't want to be like that. Help me be happy with what I have. Help me to be content, to enjoy what I have, and not be mad because I can't get this or can't get that. Just be joyous with what I've got right here. Thankful for everything I have, for the family I have. Look, if you lose everything, if you lose your house, your car, your job, and you still have your family, you're blessed. I'm not saying I want to be in that situation, but you're still blessed. All that stuff, you can work and get that stuff back. I mean, if some horrible accident came through or a fire passed through a neighborhood and wiped out all of our houses, burned up everything we had, cars and everything, just burned it up. Pictures, I mean, think about all that stuff, those memories, just burned everything up. And let's say you were at work when that happened and your family was at home. This is the first thing you're going to say, what happened to my TV? Oh, where are my guns? My purses? Nope. Is everyone okay? How's the family? Where's the family? Where are all the kids? That's the first thing you're going to care about. That's what matters. And if everyone's okay, you can say, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Brother Pooler was able to stand here. His house burned up when he was in Los Alamos, lost everything. God gave it all back to him. What do you know? What do you know? Look at Job. Job lost everything, even his children. All of them. Everything in one day. Just him and his wife. Lost everything. Even his health. And God gave it all back to him. See, your children, if they're saved, you never lose them. I know we get selfish, all of us. I understand that. We want them here with us. Let them be here with me. I get that. I do too. But he's with them now. They were saved. He's with them now. All 20 of them. Because he had 10, they died, and God gave him 10 more. It doesn't replace those 10. It's 10 more blessings. Amen. God gave it all back to him. See, and again, that just goes to our eternal rewards. If we're sending things ahead and we're focusing on what really matters, then in the end, we do get it. I'm telling you, we want our children with us in heaven. Can I just tell us this right here? If we want our children with us in heaven, you better live it here. Don't be a fake hypocrite here. That's the first thing that'll run your children off from Christianity and despise this book. Despise the God of this book. Hate this book is a fake, false Christianity that's nonsense. That's not lived out at home. So if you want to send your children to hell, then live fake. Don't let this be real in your life. Don't live it. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect. You mess up, tell them you messed up. You mess up, apologize. And especially to the men in this room, you got a lead in that thing. You're the head of your home. You're the leader. So when you and your wife are fighting, guess who should go apologize first? Not me. Just give that thing over to the Lord and you go first. But she was wrong. So were you in some things. Just go apologize. Be the leader. I'm the head of my home. Good, then lead it. then lead your home. But if it's not real, I'm telling you, you're going to send your kids to hell. Send them there. I get God could save anybody. By the grace of God. You know, a lost Catholic here got saved. Yes, God can. But He sure is hindering it if you're living a double life. If it's not real. If this isn't practiced in your home. And again, it's not saying you're going to be perfect. But you're striving to follow this. You're working at it. You're learning. You're growing. You're saying, you know what, I've not been very kind. You hear something like this, then go home to your family and apologize to them. Say, look, I'm sorry I have not been kind. What was preached on today, I need to work on that. Please forgive me for not being what God wants me to be. Help me. Pray for me. Man, that takes some humble pie right there. That takes getting rid of your pride. By the way, as we're there in 1 Corinthians 13, we'll just jump ahead here a bit. Just to see it. Because we're going to hit on that too. It says next, we're going to get into it next week. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. What does that mean? It's not full of pride. It can admit it's wrong. If we love our family, then we can admit we're wrong. We're not going to be so hard-headed and filled with pride that we'll never admit we're wrong. I don't know one person, I've never met one person that I know likes to admit they're wrong. Some will say, I don't mind, you liar. No one likes to admit they're wrong. Now, it comes easier for others, I get that. But no one likes to be wrong. So to truly be what God wants us to be, we have to be humble. You want your children saved? You want your family saved? Your extended family saved? You better live up to this. Posting stuff on Facebook like and say amen if you love Jesus while they see you drunk at the family affair. What good's that going to do? That guy? That's Christianity? Okay. Stay away from that. Because I can live just like him and not do all that nonsense. Yeah. Yeah. Be a liar, be known as a liar. We talk about drunkenness, you can talk about being a liar. Everybody knows you as a liar. Look at, man, it's amazing. This 1 Corinthians 13 just hits on all this stuff. Verse 6, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. We love people, and we're not liars. We're not deceivers. We're not deceptive to people. And I'm telling you, you want to hurt your family? We're praying for our lost family to be saved, our lost friends, lost co-workers. Then live it. Live it out. Let them see Christ in you. There ought to be something different in you than everybody else they come in contact with. If you're just the same as everybody else, then I don't want that. I don't need that. I need help. See, our testimony matters when we talk to them. And it's not we try to bring people to Jesus so He can fix their problems in life and help them. They need Jesus because they have a sin problem and they need His righteousness and His judgments on them. His wrath abides on them. That's why they need Jesus. But the way we live is going to affect if they're going to listen to that message. And if you want to help send them to hell, then live like a hypocrite. Live a double life. And be a liar at work. And they can't count on you. You can't keep your word. And it means nothing. Just live like that. Live that double life. They're going to catch you. Everyone I've worked with that's a liar, everyone knows it. Everybody knows it. Family members that are liars, everybody knows it. Just don't believe anything they say. Oh, Jesus is great. He changed my life. You sure, you liar? Can I believe that? We got to live it. Your testimony matters. And if we want to be like Christ, we need to exemplify these. Work on them. None of us is going to get it perfect. I get it. Man, we ought to strive for it. God, help me be long-suffering with my children. Help me be long-suffering with my spouse. Help me be long-suffering with my parents. Some of the kids, you could say, amen. Yeah, no. Yeah. Yeah, no. All right, it's okay. We need to be long-suffering. We need it. Ask God to help us exemplify these. Live them out in our life. To be like Christ. Let's pray.